you trust the wrong God, or do you trust the right God? Really, that's the two areas that we're going to look at. Do you trust the wrong God, or do you trust the right God? Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, the pagan, the enemy, he trusted the wrong God. Hezekiah, the king of Judah, he trusted the right God. And there are some results that trickle down from both of those kinds of trusts, both of those kinds of faith. The wrong God or the right God? Which one do you trust? Because that's really kind of what it all boils down to. Do you trust the wrong God, or do you trust the right God? And while we might be tempted to say, well, we don't live in a time of rampant paganism, we don't live in a time when idolatry and false gods are so very prevalent and prominent, and we don't live in a time when we have to worry about polytheism and multi-gods, at least in our culture. Well, it is in the world. It does exist. And we also have to remind ourselves that we don't necessarily have to have a statue or an image made of wood or gold or silver or some other precious metal to represent idolatry or to be a god. We still have a problem with the wrong God being worshipped in our society. And if we're not careful as Christians, we can find ourselves bowing down to the wrong God instead of the right God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 tells us something very interesting to apply to this as we're studying. Colossians 3, verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then there's a list. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness. And then look at the last three words, which is idolatry. These things represent the wrong God. And while you and I may pretty accurately say there are no temples with statues and images of gold and silver and wood and bronze and so on, as we walk down the streets of Huntsville, there are no false gods like that. As we look at the streets of Huntsville, do we see fornication and uncleanness and passion and evil desire and covetousness? If we do, we see idolatry. We see the wrong God. And so, yes, it is still very much a relevant question. Which God do you trust? The wrong one or the right one? And it's illustrated, as we come back to our text in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37, by Sennacherib, who trusted the wrong God, and Hezekiah, who trusted the right God. What are the results of both of those scenarios? Let's start with the first one. What happens when you trust the wrong God? Number one, you will be filled with pride and self-righteousness. Pride. When you go through Isaiah chapter 36 and the parallels in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, you will read about Sennacherib and his representatives. They are arrogant. They are prideful. They are full of self-righteousness because they've trusted in the wrong God. And they are glorifying in self. When you read through this text in Isaiah chapter 36, you read about a man that is called the Rabshakeh. That's an official title. We might think of it as Secretary of State. That's an official title of an Assyrian official that has been sent to Hezekiah to deliver the message from Sennacherib, the Assyrian king. And the message is full of self-glory and arrogance and pride. We read a little bit of this in class already, but as we come back and we read it again, we see, beginning at verse 4, "Say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust? I say you speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. Now in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Look, you are trusting in the staff of a broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away?" Hezekiah had actually taken away the high places of the wrong gods, but Sennacherib misunderstood that, "and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar," which was actually the altar of the true God. "Now therefore," verse 8, "I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the pagan, the king of Assyria, and I will give to you 2,000 horses if you're able to part, in part to put riders on them. How then will you repel one of the captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen? Have I now come up without the Lord against this land to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it." Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah, who were with the Rabshakeh, they said to speak in Aramaic so that the people would not be alarmed and disturbed. And as you read through this, he keeps insisting that the Rabshakeh, as the representative of Sennacherib, the Assyrian king, in verse 13, "I'm going to talk to you in your own language." And again, it drips, it oozes with pride and self-glory and arrogance. As you read verse 13, "Hear the words of the great king, the king of Assyria," verse 14, "Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city will not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make peace with me by a present and come out to me. And every one of you eat from his own vine, and every one from his own fig tree, and every one of you drink the waters of his own cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, and a land of grain and new wine, and a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying," you hear the arrogance, you hear the pride, you hear the self-glory of this man who's trusting in the wrong God. "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Indeed, have they delivered Samaria from my hand, the northern kingdom? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their countries from my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem from my hand?" The arrogance, the pride, the self-glory, the confidence in his own abilities expressed by Sennacherib through his spokesman, the Rabshakeh. You've just read it. You've just heard it. A man who was trusting in the wrong God. And it resulted in his pride. In fact, it filled him with pride. But there's something else here. Because trusting in the wrong God filled Sennacherib with pride. It will fill us with pride. But it will empty as well. It will fill, but it will also empty. It will fill with pride and self-glory and arrogance. But trusting in the wrong God will empty as well. And trusting in the wrong God will empty us of protection and power. Sennacherib's army was imposing. The threat was very, very real. 46 cities of the southern kingdom had already fallen, and over 200,000 Israelites had been taken captive. It was imminent. Destruction was a very, very real possibility. Tremendous loss of life. What was Hezekiah to do? How could he respond? Sennacherib, having trusted in the wrong God, though, thought he had it all taken care of and all wrapped up. And he had filled himself so much with himself, and he was so prideful, so arrogant, so self-glorying, and so self-righteous, he thought no one could stop him, and nothing could bring him down. But he did not realize the more he filled himself with himself, the more he emptied himself of any hope of protection and any hope of power. Because as we keep reading in the story, we're going to, you see in chapter 37 how that Hezekiah responds to this. Hold your thought about that. We'll hold our analysis for that for just a moment. And God responds. God responds. And you can go over to 2 Kings 18 and 19 and 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and you can read more details about the response of God. But when you look at the end of chapter 37 of Isaiah, look at the last couple of verses, last three verses of Isaiah chapter 37. Here's what I mean when filling yourself with pride, when you trust in the wrong God, will empty you of power and protection. In response to Sennacherib, and in response to Hezekiah's prayer, here's what happened. Then the angel, this is verse 36, Isaiah 37, verse 36. Then the angel or messenger of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, and returned home and remained at Nineveh, the capital city. In fact, the parallel to this in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 21 says that Sennacherib returned with shame of face to his own land. But now read the last verse. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his God, by the way, what have we said? That's the wrong God. That's the God he trusted in. And he's in the house of that wrong God. He's worshiping that wrong God. His sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with a sword. And he died. You see, Sennacherib had filled himself with pride, but he had emptied himself of power and protection. And he lost the battle. He lost the war. He lost his army. And eventually, he lost his life. That's what happens when you trust in the wrong God. Because you come to believe that the God of heaven that the Bible talks about and God's people talk about, you come to believe that that God cannot save. That God cannot do anything. That's what happens when you trust in the wrong God. But now, what happens when you trust in the right God? That's Hezekiah. And as we come back to chapter 37, we're going to see what happens when you trust in the right God. Hezekiah is now reported to by his delegation about all the things that Sennacherib had said and all the threats that were there, and how they said, don't trust Hezekiah. Don't be deceived by Hezekiah. Don't let Hezekiah mislead you, because he's going to tell you to trust in the God of heaven, and the God of heaven is powerless and can't do anything for you. Hezekiah heard this in chapter 37, verse 1. He tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went to the house of God. And so the man who trusted in the wrong God was filled with pride. The man who trusted in the right God was filled with humility. And I want you to notice as we develop this, or as it develops in the text, this is what happens when you trust in the right God. Your life, instead of being filled with pride, is filled with prayer. It's not filled with self and self-glory. It's filled with God and God's glory. And it's not filled with pride. It's filled with prayer. And as you look at the text, the Bible tells us that Hezekiah has a response in the first several verses of chapter 37. And he even speaks to Isaiah about that. And Isaiah prophesies, trust in God, keep trusting in God. God is going to take care of this. And then we come down to verse 14, and we see that Hezekiah, in addition to hearing what the Rabshakeh had said, Sennacherib had communicated to the Rabshakeh, the Secretary of State for Assyria, in addition to hearing all that, that Sennacherib had also sent a letter. And you read about that beginning in about verse 8 through about verse 13, that he had sent a letter. And that the letter basically repeated and reiterated everything that he had already said. He said, I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious. You need to just give up and quit and surrender. Now here's the life that's filled with prayer because it trusts in the right God. Isaiah 37, verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord. And here's what he said. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone, and all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. You know, Hezekiah was reproached numerous times, both verbally and in the letter. But Hezekiah himself, instead of saying, look at what they've said about me and done to me, he says, no, look at what they've said about you. There is no pride, at least here. It's a life not filled with pride, but it is a life filled with prayer. When you look at the parallel to this in 2 Kings chapter 19, Hezekiah asked Isaiah to pray. But Hezekiah did not rely on Isaiah alone to do the praying. This was personal faith that brought Hezekiah to the house of God to pray. And sometimes when we receive news like what Hezekiah had received, just like Hezekiah, we need to bow down before God, and whether we do it literally or symbolically, spread it out before him. Just lay it out before him. Here it is, God. Here's what your enemy says. And then I want you to notice how passionately Hezekiah addresses God, this life that is filled with prayer. In verse 17, there are no less than 5 imperatives. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib. No less than 5 imperatives there. As Hezekiah passionately prays for God's glory. Why? Because he trusted in the right God. And instead of being filled with pride, he was filled with prayer. And as we looked at the man who trusted in the wrong God, and we saw as he was filled with pride, that it emptied him of power and protection. Well, here, when your life is filled with prayer, there is no emptying. In fact, there's a filling of power and protection. It's a win-win situation. And so now Hezekiah, through the response of God, through the prophet Isaiah, will learn that God has the power and that God will protect his life. And you know what? In spite of the great threat of the Assyrian army, not one Assyrian soldier ever marched through the gate. Not one Assyrian sword ever was raised in Jerusalem. Why? Because of God's power and protection. Because Isaiah trusted the right God. Now contrast that with what we read a few moments ago at the end of chapter 37. Sennacherib's God and Hezekiah's God. The wrong God and the right God. The right God saved Hezekiah and saved the people that Hezekiah prayed for. That's what the right God did when Hezekiah trusted in him. The wrong God that was trusted in by Sennacherib couldn't save Sennacherib's army, and he couldn't even save, listen, he couldn't even save Sennacherib in the temple that was dedicated to that God himself. Because that's the very place where he died. What an irony to trust in a God and to be killed in the very house of the God that is trusted in because it's the wrong God. Because that God is powerless and there is no protection. Isaiah trusted the right God. And he went to the house of his God and he prayed and he received an answer. Sennacherib went to the house and temple of his God and there he died. You see the difference between trusting in the right God and the wrong God, and what the result may be. And while trusting in the wrong God had led Sennacherib to the conclusion that the God of heaven cannot save, trusting in the right God had led Hezekiah to the conclusion that the God of heaven can save and will save, and he did save. And he still can if you trust in the right God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, "Worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve." And so we bring our lesson to the conclusion this morning with these thoughts in mind and this question: do you trust the right God or the wrong God? Do you believe the wrong God will save you? Or do you believe the right God will save you? Are you ready to worship the Lord God and him only serve and be faithful in following him as his child and live for him, die for him, die with him, and ultimately live eternally forever with him? Trust the right God. Do the right thing. And go to the right place. Would you come this morning as we stand and we sing?